Welcome back to San Halen. Let the tasty licks flow. San Halen featuring Mark Zander on guitar. Brian Hanley on more guitar. Even I'm playing guitar. And vocals too. San Halen on Chicago's home for rock. I mean sports. ESPN Chicago.
And welcome in to Zander and Hanley and ESPN 1000. And we're here for the next hour before the Bears pregame show with Jeff Meller and Dion Miller.
Here I am. Here I am.
There you are.
Hi, Brian.
There you are.
How are you?
I'm good.
Almost late to the short party that we have
first
going
time,
on here
long
on a Sunday
time,
morning.
First time, long time, long time, first time.
Yeah, all of that. All of that.
312-332-3776 if you want to jump on in. Hey, Mark, I love that we're actually having hot stove baseball talk for the first time in a couple of years. You know, last year, last offseason, we had the lockout, so teams weren't doing anything. And I know nothing really got done in Las Vegas because Thursday was the first day you could actually start exchanging numbers and ideas on contracts. But, I mean, just the rumors floating around. Jose Abreu coming to the north side? I needed to check your heart rate on that one.
Yes, the rumors are exciting. That one I'm not so excited about. But, look, you know, if he stays in Chicago, it'll be hurtful to see him wearing Cubby Blue, but it would still be nice to have him in the city. I know that's a little weird. I know I'm straddling the fence, and that's okay. I was born on the north side. I grew up on the south side. I get to do that. My team is the White Sox. But this is interesting, right? SI is reporting, that's Sports Illustrated, that Vaughn could be used as a trade piece, and we have interest in Sean Murphy, the catcher from the Oakland A's, very, very talented catcher. So if that happens, and then what do you do with Yasmani? Does Abreu stay with the team? Look, I know Abreu has elected to go a free agency, but anything can happen. And you're right, it's very exciting. It's so much nicer than it was this time last year. Because, you know, we had COVID that we had to deal with and then the lockout. It was just really not good for baseball fans. But, yeah, this is fun. There are a lot of things floating around. You've got a Twitter poll about what the Cubs might do. And I'm wondering if Vaughn's going to be a trade piece this winter.
We'd love to hear from you, Sox fans, Cub fans, 312-332-3776. Because, you know, all the GMs are playing coy. I loved Rick Hahn talking when he started getting asked about Abreu going to the Cubs. And Contreras, and he said, I'm not talking about Cubs. And he said, you want to talk about the Cease Eloy deal? I mean, touche. It was, you know, funny. He'd still, you know, take the victory lap on that deal. But, you know, the Cubs are rumored. And again, you go back to Jed Hoyer. We're going to spend money intelligently, which do you really have to say that? I mean, I would hope anytime if you're spending $200 million or $2 million, you want to spend it intelligently, right? I mean, I don't
Does
even know what that
like
means.
Does it sound like he's a little sensitive about that question?
Yeah, I don't know what that means. As a Cub fan, all you really want to worry about is how much you're going to, how active are you going to be? Once again, you have a premier elite shortstop class that would improve any team, you know, necessarily, certainly the Cubs. And whether it's Trey Turner or if it's Carlos Correa or up and down you go, I mean, I love the odds out there. You got Correa, it's 3-1 to land on the Cubs, according to odds makers. Dansby Swanson is 5-1. Trey Turner and Xander Bogaerts come in at 7-1 each. Not exactly 3-2 or odds on that the Cubs, but I mean, they have the money certainly. And why wouldn't you take a swing at one of those guys and improve your rebuild and accelerate your rebuild? And
right, that would seem intelligent, right, based on what he said. I mean, for outside looking in, any one of those choices would be intelligent. Again, we don't spend the money. It's not our pocketbook. So they have to make sense of that. But know that the Cub fans will be pretty upset if they don't make a big splash.
Yeah, and I would like to know how Cub fans feel about the possibility of Jose Abreu ended up at first for a couple of years anyway, because we know, you know, they're not going to give him a 4 or 5 year deal. They might give him a 3-year deal with an opt out after two, or just maybe a 2-year with the, you know, sweeten the pot with a little bit more money. But I mean, I love it. Sully, our buddy Paul Sullivan, wrote, you know, in his column that DJ LeMahieu would be a guy you could get in trade from the Yankees, since they have to free up money for Aaron Judge. And he's got
a return to the north side.
Yeah, which, you know, Theo, that was one of Theo's worst trades for Ian Stewart. But DJ LeMahieu is 4 years and $60 million, and he's 34 years old. It would make some sense. And Matt Mervis is in the wings, but Jed basically said they're not giving him that job full time since he went, you know, to from high A. I mean, he made a great leap this past season, but they're not ready to hand over first base on the north side to him. So a lot of things going on, but I just love hot stove baseball. Again, I know nothing really got done, but the fact that it was in Vegas, you know, made it a little sexier, and certainly every beat guy in the world loves off-season meetings in Vegas. It was fun. It was fun, and it's fun talking baseball and wondering, because both sides of town have moves they should make and moves they need to make. And we'll find out which GM, you know, Rick Hahn has kind of, I don't know, tamped them down a bit, saying we're going to go the trade route more than free agency. But who knows? Maybe he's playing poker. Maybe he's, you know, he's trying to lay in the weeds a little bit, and he'll surprise someone in free agency.
Well, yeah, you know, we've heard the rumors of, I've seen them all week, about how payroll is going to stay the same on the south side, which kind of leans into that whole we're going to probably be more active in trade talks than we will free agency. But again, I would love to know that he's just playing poker, because, Reinsdorf has to get with the program of others, the way they run their teams, and spend a little more money, because you see what we're up against in the Central. And again, we have the team that should and could do something, but, you know, with a new manager, we still need the right players in the right positions. How about A.J. Pollock? No, thank you. I think is a good thing. I don't think he set the world on fire on the south side. He had people that were a fan. You know, they liked what he did. He did okay. He certainly did not come in and take the bull by the horns, as it were, as we thought maybe he would have. So we're free of him. We're free of Josh Harrison. Elvis Andrus will probably end up somewhere, as will Jose Abreu again, unless they make some kind of trade and leave room for Jose to stay. I want to ask you this, Brian, being a Cub fan. Any chance you would want to see Rizzo back? Now, he elected not to stay with the Yankees, which was a big surprise to me.
Yeah, I don't. Is he going to be here when they're ready to contend, not just for a division, but try to win a World Series? I've closed the chapter on that. I know Twitter and Cub fans are just pining for Anthony Rizzo. Bring Riz back. Oh, he's the face of the team. Well, he was, but he's not anymore. My guess is that they're going to try to keep him in the Bronx, and he'll probably work out some deal there.
Oh, you think so? Okay.
Yeah, I would. I mean, I really, if you're not going to get Jose Abreu, and a Sox fan, are you okay with trading Andrew Vaughn to correct your catching situation? And I mean, at this age, I guess I thought at the end of the season he's moving to first and Jose Abreu's moving on, and
right,
there wasn't much question about it. But yeah, obviously Grandal is not marketable, Moncada's not marketable, so you have to get creative here. But as a Sox fan, are you okay with dealing Andrew Vaughn?
Yeah, you know, look, I don't want to lose him, but I know we have to do something big to shake things up. And, you know, he might be the only way to get that done. Now, I'm not sure what that looks like, and I certainly would like to see, if he is dealt, just a no-brainer type trade. But as I said when the season ended, to me, Cease is the only untouchable. Probably Luis Robert as well. The rest of them, okay, what can we do? And you see Lucas Giolito, who at one point was probably untouchable, is rumored to be on the trade block as well. So although I don't like the idea of losing Andrew Vaughn, what can we get for him? Are we going to be able to really turn something like that into a team changer? I don't know. And certainly I do buy into the fact that he was misused. So maybe he didn't have the endurance at the end of the year. And Rick Hahn even said what we have talked about this past week at the GM meetings, that he felt that Andrew Vaughn, because he was misused in the field, probably cut into his offensive potential toward the end of the year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And again, it's just the idea that both sides of town have to-do lists. And I think in general, we know what they are. But now we get down to business where the GMs have to actually...
Yeah, both are a lot to-do lists. It's a lot to-do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So 312-332-3776 if you want to jump on in and represent your team in this town and tell us what you like. Are the Cubs going to be active? I love, you know, the fact with Trey Turner. It's like, oh, okay, he goes from the Dodgers, or no, he stays with the Dodgers. No, he goes to Philadelphia, and he reunites with Bryce Harper. And then, if he doesn't do that, then Bogaerts goes from Boston to reunite with Dave Dombrowski. And, I mean, it just – everyone's – it's going to come down to how many years and how much money. It's not going to be – maybe the Trey Turner, Bryce Harper has some legs. I don't think Bogaerts – I would see him staying in Boston, the only team he's played for, before I think he cared to reunite with a GM. I mean, I don't know, you know, how much feel good that is, right? I mean, I get the former teammates, and Bryce Harper could sell him on what's going on in Philadelphia, and we saw it obviously in the World Series. They didn't get the job done, but they got there. So, Carlos Correa, what, you know, what does he do? And where he would be a perfect fit. Dansby Swanson would be a perfect fit on the north side too. So they all make sense, certainly for the Cubs. And we know they have the money. And maybe if they get Jose Abreu, you'll get the marquee network and you'll start watching just because of Jose. Maybe not. I don't know.
I don't know about that. That's why they made highlights on YouTube. 312-332-3776. I cannot warrant spending money on the marquee network. And I know that's the future for every baseball team, likely to have their own network to where you have to spend money upon the money you already spend to see your favorite team. But they're not doing that yet on the South Side, and I'm okay with it. 312-332-3776.
I know Cap brought that up to Bob Nightingale on his NBC Sports Chicago show and asked about Aaron Judge coming to the north side just because of marquee, right? Because the TV ratings were down considerably this year because there wasn't a whole lot to see there, no matter how much they tried hard in the second half. They lacked for star power, but I would be shocked if the Cubs ponied up what Bob Nightingale said would be 4 years and about $200 million to get the conversation started on Aaron Judge.
Yeah, that would really turn the North Siders upside down in such a good way to get him. But yeah, that's a tall guy, but a tall challenge to get Aaron Judge here to Chicago.
Before we get to break, let's throw those Twitter polls out there. You can follow Mark at Xander Rocker, one word, one R in the middle. You check me out at Brian Hanley 534, also at ESPN 1000. We have two Twitter polls today. Cup fans, what's most likely for the North Siders to do? It's sign a big-time shortstop, sign Jose Abreu, both or neither. And we do have a Bears game today, and you know the darling of the NFL is Justin Fields and all those guys who are saying how the team sucked offensively and were the worst in the league going into the season. Yeah. Now they're all Justin Fields is a combination of Lamar Jackson and everyone you can think of. But God bless them. Our other Twitter poll question is, the Bears are now an offensive juggernaut with 94 points the last three games. Today, the over-under on points for the Bears, 25.5 points. What is the bet? Are they going to go over or under the point total posted in Las Vegas?
312-332-3776. Jump in on the Twitter polls. Jump in here. We'll be right back to take your phone calls. This is ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
This is Xander and Hanley on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
It is Xander and Hanley, ESPN 1000 on Sunday morning, 312-332-3776. If you want to jump in and join the conversation here till the top of the hour and bring you up to Bears pregame with Jeff and Dion. And interesting, here come the Bears hosting the Detroit Lions. And Mark Xander, the Bears in the last 3 weeks have doubled their points on average from about 15 and change to 31 and change. And I guess the question now is there a higher ceiling yet to be found by this this quarterback in Justin Fields and the offense now that Chase Claypool will have his first, what, he have 26 snaps last week? I did see that Vegas posted 35 and a half yards, receiving yards for Chase Claypool with a shade to the over. I thought that was a low number, especially given the fact that the Detroit's defense is about the worst in the league, 32nd overall in total defense, and five receivers have had games of more than 100 yards receiving. I'm not sure that Chase Claypool breaks the century mark today, but that number seemed awful low to me because I would expect that he's going to be much more involved today, especially against this defense, which is not very good.
Right, and this is the team that beat Green Bay, and that has made my week, all week. I just would wake up and think, oh, my God, the Lions beat the Packers. And I have friends up there, and they're none too happy. That's a slap in the face. The one that we enjoy here if you're a Bears fan. But, no, I agree with you. I think that on the poll that you put up on Twitter today, I'll take the over on that, and I think Chase is going to have a better day than that. You know, Justin Fields, I just read here, and I don't even know who to attribute this to, but the headline just grabbed me. Justin Fields is called a supersized, turbocharged Jalen Hurts. What a development. I mean, how many weeks ago was it that we were thinking, I'm not sure he's our quarterback? And everybody nationally was saying the same thing. Now you have people like Mike Martz before we went into the break just ripping the Bears to shreds. Now he wants to praise them. I mean, we really don't care what Mike Martz has to say, really. But I think it's just really ridiculous how this has turned for the good. And the ridiculous part being that everybody just wanted to make a determination on him when it was just too early to do so.
Well, look, and we knew that Justin Fields could run. But unfortunately, early on in the season, he was running out of necessity, and sometimes he is running because he was seeing ghosts and he thought he needed to get out of the pocket when he actually had some time to make something happen. So now Luke Getsy and Justin Fields, who, you know, Luke Getsy, the offensive coordinator, talked about basically tuning out the noise, good and bad. And in the meeting room after that performance offensively against the Dolphins, when everyone nationally starting to talk, you know, Bears buzz about Justin Fields and the offense, they have to kind of make sure that they don't get taken up in that and get the, you know, their heads swell a little bit because they have to continue. I mean, I guess the question for me is how important is this game today? Not because it's a division game, because neither of these teams are going to win the division. It looks like the Vikings almost have it wrapped up because, as you alluded to, the Packers' first five-game losing streak since Aaron Rodgers' first year as quarterback up there, and they're only averaging 17 points a game, and he threw three interceptions inside the five last week. I mean, how quickly is that team going to decline here? Because he's got all the money, and that's why Davante Adams isn't up there, and they thought their defense would be a hell of a lot better than it is. But unfortunately, the Bears aren't in position to take advantage of the Packers giving away the division right now. And again, I still don't believe that the Vikings are as good as their record. They were down 10 points to Washington in the fourth quarter last week, and Washington let them back in and let them win that game. That said, how important is this game for the Bears? Because they're coming off the great offensive showing against the Dolphins and offensive player of the week, Justin Fields, and all the gaudy numbers. You have to build upon that, and I don't know what that looks like. I mean, I thought that point total was low, 25.5 points against this Detroit defense.
Yeah, that's why
defense.
I'm taking the over,
Yeah, that's why I'm taking the under. I mean, that seems too good to be true, right? That they're averaging last 3 weeks, 33 points against the Dolphins, 29 and 32, And one of those games was against one of the better defenses in Dallas. Why wouldn't you be able to better 30 points against Detroit on your home turf? But it's very important for Justin Fields and Luke Getsy, like you know Luke was talking about, to tune out the positive noise and all the adulation and find a way to build upon that game last week. And, you know, God forbid, the last thing you want to see is the Bears struggle on offense against this defense, because that will get the naysayers naysaying again.
Oh, that would throw us in reverse really hard. Yeah, you know, the idea that we lost to Miami, but I've not seen the Bears fans, the Bears faithful, so not upset about a loss.
Right.
And that's what we were talking about. For me, I wasn't upset. And you saw a lot of people, they weren't upset because they saw tremendous growth from Justin. Right. And that's the thing. Every week we have to better what we did before, especially against a team like the Lions. I want to mention before I let too much time go by, Bear fan Bob reached out to me during the week. He is going to be one of the vets holding the American flag for the opening ceremony.
Oh, God bless. That's
great. On the field. Yeah, isn't that great? He said he will, let me see here. He said he will have a blue hat on. So if you're watching, you're able to see him. That's our Bear fan, Bob. He is a proud veteran. And again, Veterans Day on Friday, we thank all the veterans for everything you have done and continue to do if you are still in service. But he had of course, he wrote down his thoughts. He's going to have a blue Air Force hat on. He wrote down all his thoughts about the game, and we'll try to work those in. But just wanted to mention about our Bear fan, Bob, beloved around here on ESPN 1000. So, yeah, it should be a big day, but how big a day is it going to be? It was great to see what Justin did last week. And you're right, he was running for his life at first, but now he's reading the field. And yep, he is really dangerous. Much more dangerous than we could have imagined 6 weeks ago.
And how much does that impact Ryan Poles' decision-making moving into the offseason? Assuming, again, you're 3-6 at this point. I saw Patrick Finley from the Sun-Times tweeted out, it's now time for the Bears to start winning games. And I get what he was saying. You know, they're great at scoring points in the final 2 minutes of the first half, but not so great at scoring points in the final 2 minutes of the game. And, you know, even when they get screwed off a pass interference call, that's obvious to everyone watching that game.
Oh, my gosh. I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, that'll get you losing sleep as a football fan. How does a ref miss that?
Well, it's too bad they didn't have the Illini crew, officiating crew, because they called pass interference when there wasn't any all day yesterday. And one key possession was Illinois intercepted a ball when they had the lead, and they called it defensive pass interference. So officiating at the college and NFL level still leave a lot to be desired. But, you know, back to the Bears, how do you build upon last week? What do you have to see today against this doormat defense of the Detroit Lions? And, back to Luke Getsy and Justin Fields, is it those two getting to know each other 9 games into the season? Or is it just Justin Fields becoming, you know, the light bulb going on over his head about what it takes to win in the NFL? Or some people at the beginning of the season said Luke Getsy is the most important man at Hal's Hall. And is that proving to be true right now?
Because I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah, we can talk about it after the break. 312-332-3776 if you're heading Soldier Field or getting ready for the game. You want to jump on in with your Bears thoughts. Xander and Hanley are here for you on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago.
This is Xander and Hanley on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
During the break, Mark Xander, I checked in on the first NFL game in Munich, Germany. And the first quarter of the first game in Munich, Germany, produced no points. So I'm sure the NFL was very happy.
And Tom Brady was behind center on one of those teams.
Well, now the Tampas are up 14-0. They started going in the second quarter. Did you know in München State on Hofbräuhaus, 1-2 Zufa? You ever been in Munich?
No. It's on my list. Funny story, my son just moved to Paris.
Really?
Yes. We put him on a plane this past Monday. So I have never been to Europe, and I will be going to Europe at some point soon. And I'm sure Germany will be part of the plan.
So is he there for school, for job, because he likes snails?
He is there for his wife's school.
Wow.
Very nice. He's in school, and he went there. They have an apartment, and he just got there this past Monday. So I texted him today. And as true Gen Z fashion, when you text a Gen Zer, they'll get back to you when they feel like it. Now we have 7 hours between us, so I haven't heard from him. But I did ask him, the first thing I asked him this morning was, do you have TV yet? If you do, can you watch the game in Germany? Because I'm telling him that the NFL is trying to make inroads, as we know they have been for years, in Europe. And they're playing in Germany today. They played in the Bears have played in London, certainly. And I'm wondering how much exposure they have to the NFL in France.
I haven't been able to actually eyeball the game. I was wondering what the attendance looks like and what how big the stadium is and did they fill it up. But, one thing about Munich, it's been 1,000 years ago since I've been there, that the Hofbräuhaus is very nice. Ein Maß Bier bitte, and just keep them coming. And then there was this huge park.
I've been to the Hofbräuhaus in Rosemont.
It's the same thing, but not exactly.
You're right. The beer is a lot. Much more watered down.
Yeah. But there's this huge park on the outskirts of Munich. And you're walking around, and you stumble onto what is a nude beach, I think, along a river in the park. And like so many nude beaches, the people who are naked are the ones that you really don't want to see naked.
I know, and I you stumbled upon it, right? It wasn't like you were going there to see it.
No, I didn't know there was going to be that.
Years ago in Hawaii, I did the same thing. We're on the beach, and all of a sudden we happen upon a nude beach. It's like, here is everybody you never, ever want to see naked. So the idea of going to a nude beach, if you ever think that sounds like a great idea, it lives larger and better in your head, trust me.
Yeah, there's in Toronto, you can take the ferry out to three different islands, like a 15-minute ferry ride. And again, one of them had a nude beach, and there was actually a yoga class up like in front of everybody doing downward dog. And you can't unsee that for like a week.
Well, I'm sorry that you have to live with that memory.
Yeah, I mean you don't really need to see that. But anyway, back to the Bears. The fact that Justin, nice transition. Justin Fields. Okay, we know he ran all over God's green earth last week, 178 yards, most ever for a quarterback in a regular season game. All terrific, because they were mostly planned runs, and there's no stopping him once he gets lathered up. The idea that he's only passed for more than 200 yards once this season and five times in his career. Is that how we judge? When you start looking at the Detroit defense here, and they are 29th in passing yards allowed per game at 268.5, you got to eclipse 200 today. Is that too much to ask for?
No. I would agree. This is the time to do it. Certainly, it is building upon week to week to week, and now we see Justin has confidence. We have a Chase Claypool now. And given what you just told us about the Lions, today is the day they have to do that. They have to force that. There has to be a great amount of plays that'll get Justin to be able to identify who's open, identify the defense and make it happen. This would be the chance, right? I mean, there's no other way to look at it.
And I just wonder if you're Luke Getsy, and again, you say you're tuning out all the noise, but when you script your first 15, 20 plays, whatever the number is that the Bears script, do they hit them in the mouth and, dial up a home run play or two right away within that 15, 20 plays and go deep and let them know that, one, to give Justin the confidence that you get it done early and you can maybe do it all afternoon, or are you more conservative and just, you know, throw the screens and play action and RPOs and let them run when the opportunity presents itself? I would love to see them just dial it up, go downfield and get Detroit. Detroit's probably coming in thinking they got to stop Justin Fields from running right now, first and foremost. I want to see him open up. And he says he always believes he can make the big play. Well, coming off that confidence builder last week of making big plays, start making them through the air now. That's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see it early and often today.
Yeah, I can't imagine anybody else would feel different if they're watching what we're watching, right? In that Justin has, it looks like he has a whole bunch of confidence now. This kid looks so much different than he did 5-6 weeks ago. And again, this would be the day, you know, whether it's the Lions or not, I still think this is the day. But we have the Lions, and as you said, they give up a lot of yards in the passing game. So yeah, let's do this and let's fight through any kind of, you know, situations that don't really work out. Don't change the game plan necessarily just because maybe an attempt early in the game didn't work out. He's got to force his way like pitchers, right? You got to pitch through trouble. Like a quarterback, you've got to find a way to make those adjustments and maybe not change the game, because today against the Lions, we have to see it in the air early and often.
And as much as I want to see well over 200 yards passing, and I want to see it early on, not because, God forbid, they're trailing and you're passing because you're trying to catch up here against the Lions, who are, as you said, coming off that big win at Green Bay. I don't know how big a win it is anymore because they have had a 5-game losing streak, the Packers have, and they're only averaging 17 points. But for Detroit, it's sitting there at 2-6, I believe. It's a big win, right?
Well, it was huge for them and their families.
Right. So, I mean, when they show up here and it is an indoor team, it's not exactly the Dolphins coming up to sub-freezing weather, but it's going to be around 31, 32 degrees here. And we've had a nice balmy start to November, and then it took a turn on Friday. But they come from, you know, nice, pleasant temperatures up in Green Bay to their first taste of cold weather this year. And I wonder how happy they're going to be about running around Soldier Field. And maybe they're coming off a high in Green Bay, and they'll, not that you need to catch them napping a little bit, but the fact that Vegas only has Justin Fields at 175.5 yards passing today really had me scratching my head. I mean, you would think that I guess beginning of the season we were talking about it, he was around like 160, 157. So they've upped the total, but they're not anywhere near 200. And that's got to be something he has to start shooting for on a week-in, week-out basis.
Right,
I would believe.
It seems like they are obviously not basing it on the potential as much as they are what they've already seen from him. But this is where, you know, if he can put together Luke Getsy, you know, he can put the plays to the quarterback and Justin can execute. This, a game like today could show everybody, well, you thought Justin can run, and obviously he can when he needs to, especially on the plays where they're designed that way. He starts making completions, even though it's against the Lions, you're going to get the teams that we're going to play really guessing, because you're right, the Lions have prepared to stop him from running.
312-332-3776. What do you think happens at Soldier Field today? Bears are a 3-point favorite. And that seems a little low for me, too. Everything Vegas is posting is when I look at it, I'm like, well, that should be like 4.5, 5 points. I know they only have one more win than Detroit, but that's, most home teams get 3 points just because. It's just the passing total seems low to me. The total points seems low to me, and I don't know what odds they don't just make up these numbers out of whole cloth. They try to balance the money, and when it looks too good to be true, it usually is. But we'll come back and talk about it after the break and check in on our Twitter polls, get you ready for the Bears pregame with Jeff and Dion. We'll do that right here on ESPN 1000. Alexander and Hanley here till top of the hour. Then it's Jeff and Dion, and check them out. If you're down around Crestwood, check out the PointsBet Sportsbook. They will be there live for the pregame show on ESPN 1000 from 10 until kickoff. And Mark, we've been putting this off, but I suppose we have to talk Bears defense at some point. You know, Patrick Finley in the Sun-Times wrote now that the Bears have to start winning, or Justin Fields has to start winning. I'm not so sure that's one necessarily true, because I think you'd still want to see him develop and also have a high draft pick because of the losing record. But given what the defense can't do, I'm not so sure how much winning is in the equation, no matter how great the offense is. The Bears defense can't stop anybody doing anything, and they can't stop anyone on third down. They're 31st in the league right now in allowing offenses to convert on third down. And last week, as great as the offense was, no sacks, no takeaways, no Robert Quinn, no Roquan. And I don't see how it gets much better moving forward. Sometimes want to can get you a pick or two or force a fumble. But right now, this defense isn't very good. And no matter how good the offense is, I don't know how many wins that translates from here to the end of the season.
Exactly right. I mean, look, the development of Justin is first and foremost. And even if he has a good game, defense, which has not really been the main issue, I can't remember when the last time it was in Bears history. I mean, we've always been known for defense. You're right. There are some players, Brisker, fun to watch, but he can't do it all. We traded Quinn. We traded Smith. And for good reasons.
Yes. But,
yeah, I don't think wins are going to happen. And if they do, you know, it's going to mean defense has to step up. And you know, it's been a long time since that's been the case, because we've had the defense, so we're always looking to the offense to take a step forward. Well, we're seeing the offense do that, and meanwhile, the defense is taking a step backwards. So, again, this season is not about winning. It's about developing Justin. And I know that Patrick Finley, as you mentioned, said it's time to start winning. Well, that would be good, but I'm not sure how you get any better on defense at this point in the year after trading away who we have traded away, but we did it for good reason, for the future, right?
Yeah, I think you and I definitely agreed that moving Roquan was probably the right thing to do at this time, instead of getting a compensatory pick, and you weren't going to sign him. So Ryan Poles knew there was no middle ground, so I had no problem trading for what you traded him for. But I didn't see picking up Chase Claypool, and I was very happy to see him spend a second-round pick to try to get Justin Fields some help, and hopefully we see more of Chase Claypool today, as we were talking about earlier. But with the defense giving up 70 points and 821 yards in the last two losses, I don't know how you start evaluating Alan Williams as a defensive coordinator. I don't think he can this year, right? I mean, he's got to keep that group together, even though there's no star power there, and the numbers are going to be ugly, but you've got to make sure that the morale, the want to, that they don't get sloppy, they don't start committing penalties. You want to, as bad as they might be talent-wise, you want to see the defensive coordinator keep that together best he can right now.
Yeah, you're right. We were heading into the season wondering if we could evaluate Justin based on the fact that the offensive line isn't what it needs to be, right? So how quickly the dialogue changes. Now we're wondering if we could, really give an evaluation to Williams, our defensive coordinator, based on the trades that we've made recently. And it is going to expose the defense. I mean, we traded some pretty big players for the future, which, again, I agree on. And this team this year is not about winning. It's about developing. And, yes, on that side of the ball, they are going to have to keep it together and have a great offseason in adding assets, because we may be, I don't know, 2 years away. I think next year will look, at as it should, a lot better than it does this year. But we're seeing the main ingredient, and that would be Justin Fields. And hopefully today we don't give up too much, and we can have Justin airing it out successfully.
And Brad Biggs wrote in the Tribune this week, and it's an interesting point. And now with the Green Bay Packers in full decline and looking like it's not going to get better anytime soon, and he's got, what, a guaranteed $53 million next year? So he's still getting paid, even though his game is declining. Brad Biggs wrote, the rest of the teams in the division, Minnesota, Detroit, who has, Jared Goff, and obviously Justin here, it looks like the Bears have the best young quarterback, no doubt, in the division. But does Detroit go ahead and draft a young quarterback, a quarterback in the offseason, and move on from Jared Goff? And as much as Kirk Cousins has the Vikings sitting there with the one loss to this point, he's 34. Do they start spending some draft capital at quarterback? And Brad Biggs' point was the first team of those three that gets the real deal. And again, Justin Fields is the leader in the clubhouse right now because of what we've seen in the last 3 weeks in particular, and because of his experience. The team that actually finds that guy first, and everyone knows it, everyone sees it around the league, they will be the team that starts controlling the North for years to come. And at the beginning of the year, did anyone think that was even going to be a conversation as long as Aaron Rodgers was sticking around in Green Bay? And it just shows you how fragile this whole thing is, that the Packers have, they can't score, they can't keep the ball, and they're averaging 17 points a game, and they have their first five-game losing streak since Aaron Rodgers was a rookie. So it's, I think 25% of the teams in the league can go from the outhouse to the penthouse, from last place to a playoff team on any given year. So does Ryan Poles look at what's going on up north and decide that he can be much more aggressive and start considering, being a division contender within the next year or two? Mm-hmm. Because when he started here, Mark, he didn't want to put a timeline on it. And he basically told everyone it's going to take a lot of time. But does he have to accelerate things now that the door is open, because the Packers don't look like they're not good this year, and it looks like they might not be good next year?
Right. I would imagine he didn't want to put a timeline on it because, if you paint yourself in the corner, then everybody knows where you're at. But the idea that Aaron Rodgers, we didn't know when that would start declining. It certainly does look like things are declining. I don't know. Yeah, if it walks like a duck and looks like a duck, it's a duck, right? So I've got Packer fans that are saying, it's just a bad streak, he's going to catch a gear. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it remains to be seen, but it does not look good. And yes, I would imagine Ryan Poles is very, very attuned to what is happening with Green Bay. I mean, we've had how many people come in and say, Green Bay is not our focus. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I don't care what you say. If you're a Bears fan and if you want to be in touch with the way Bears fans feel, Green Bay is definitely a focus. Obviously, Minnesota is the division leader this year, but I don't think that that's destined to last for years. And like you said, maybe they'll move on from Cousins or start developing. I mean, they have to, right? He's well into his 30s. So the idea of Ryan Poles recognizing the opportunity, absolutely. And we know, we've been told that they have a lot of money to spend in the offseason.
More than $100 million, and we'll see how that plays out.
Now, that's when we're going to grade Ryan Poles to see if he is spending intelligently.
we're gonna move on and make room for Jeff and Dion with the pregame show here on ESPN 1000. We'll be back next weekend. Charlie Bevins, thanks for producing today. Have a great game. Enjoy the game today, and keep it right here on ESPN 1000.